Earhart once said, "I have often said that the lure of flying is the lure of beauty." Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode number 485 of this here electronic engineering podcast called Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and written, produced, and hosted by yours truly, Amelia Dalton. How many times have you said to yourself, "If I could just fly there"? I don't know about you, but I am definitely not cut out to be a pilot, even though I am named after a very famous one. But what if we could hire an autonomous flying taxi to fly us from place to place? Well, folks, we are talking about making flying taxis a reality in this week's podcast. Professor Naira Hovhakimyan from the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign joins me this week to discuss how the development of a new Center for Autonomous Vehicles in Air Transportation Engineering at UIUC could help charter a course for flying taxis. We also investigate the L1 Adaptive Flight Control System and the role that this flight control system will have in the development of this kind of autonomous aircraft. We also chat about the different technologies developed by this team at UIUC in association with this project, and the various universities and companies involved in this revolutionary collaboration. So without further ado, let's get flying with Naira. Hi, Naira. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Okay, so we're talking about the future of flying taxis today. But before we get into the details, before we can make that kind of transportation a reality, we need to build the infrastructure to support it. That leads me to the development of the Center for Autonomous Vehicles and Air Transportation Engineering at UIUC. So first off, Naira, tell my audience more about this center and the goals you're looking to accomplish.
This center aims to address some of the most challenging questions in autonomy of urban air vehicles. So urban air vehicles have one objective, just to help us move faster. If now living in Urbana-Champaign, for example, I have a trip to Kansas to make, it will be 5 hours drive, or I have to drive to Chicago to fly from there, or I have to take another small flight from our local Champaign airport to Chicago and then to Kansas, having urban air vehicles will be able to cut short these distances just by spending maybe 40 minutes on such a flight. So this helps us to move faster, to develop everything much faster, and the world becomes just smaller when we are able to operate at this speed. So the center will be very interdisciplinary. We have experts from computer science, aerospace engineering, electrical computer engineering, mechanical engineering. We have people from flight test sites, we have industry partners from Lockheed Martin and Sierra Nevada Corporation. We all together come to address the certification type of challenges for the autonomy stack, so-called verification and validation framework. And our big team has all the expertise to enable this technology development and transition to industrial partners.
So trustworthiness is a crucial element to the development of flying taxis. And you have developed a technology called the L1 Adaptive Flight Control System, which has provided safety and maneuverability in airplanes. So, Naira, tell me more about this flight control system and the role it will play in the development of these kind of autonomous aircraft.
So, L1 adaptive control is a robust adaptive control technology that we developed with NASA funding during 2007-10 and flight tested it on NASA's AirStar vehicle, which is a subscale transport aircraft model. Later, Air Force helped us to flight test it on Learjet and F-16. And the opportunity to flight test on these experimental vehicles gave us the confidence that we can have major technology transitions. These experimental vehicles' platforms are reconfigured in a way that they have the opportunity to load accidental data on those and to simulate such flight in the real flight. And the safety system can always take over in case the flight controller cannot handle the accident. But what our controller proved, that we were able to behave in a predictable way during all these accidental maneuvers, during stall conditions. In fact, on the Airstar vehicle that the NASA pilots were able to put into stall condition, our controller was the only one that handled the vehicle quite robustly, giving the pilot the opportunity to recover from stall conditions. Having so much mileage with flight testing of this controller, now what we are doing, we're adding some machine learning elements to quantify the uncertainty that can help us to do better path planning and achieve higher levels of optimality in our flights. And we want also to have real-time out-of-board verification of the entire autonomy stack and to be able to integrate it into national airspace.
So Naida, when I was researching this study, I was intrigued by the different technologies developed by your team members at UIUC in association with these flying taxis. So can you tell me more about their contributions to this project?
Certainly. So the team members at UIUC will play this critical role with verification and validation framework that have the tools to do the real-time out-of-board verification. They will help us with robust perception. They will help us with real-time systems analysis framework. And the colleagues at UIUC will also help us with integration into national airspace. All these technologies are critical as we're analyzing the opportunity to deploy the flying air taxis.
So collaboration seems to be at the heart of this new Center for Autonomous Vehicles in Air Transportation Engineering. So tell my audience a little bit about the other universities involved in this project. And the advisory board also includes companies like Kitty Hawk, Boeing, and Google Wing. Is that correct?
Yes. So we have other team members from MIT, Georgia Tech, North Carolina A&T University, and University of Nevada at Reno. So University of Nevada at Reno has access to FAA-approved flight test site, and they have a very good autonomous vehicles lab. They will be helping with lots of the flight testing and transitioning technology to Lockheed Martin. MIT is helping with the verification and validation framework together with a collaborator from University of Illinois. North Carolina A&T University, it's a minority-serving institution. They are actually responsible for the fall detection and identification task within the proposal, and they will have lots of minority outreach programs. And Georgia Tech is our main collaborator on these machine learning-enabled components within the autonomy stack. The advisory board currently includes members from Boeing to represent the big company, and the Boeing team member is one of our collaborators of Illinois faculty in verification and validation. Kitty Hawk is a company that develops air taxis, and Google Wing is a company that is doing already drone delivery, real drone delivery. So we have some of the best experts of autonomy on our advisory board, but we are still expanding the advisory board. It's not final. We may add new members as we go on.
So, Naida, this project is part of NASA's University Leadership Initiative, right? Can you tell me a little bit about this initiative and the role it's playing in the development of your new center?
This NASA University Leadership Initiative has been established 5 years ago. We are the fifth cohort of this program. They have the objective of integrating academic research with industrial transitions, because University Leadership Initiative always assumes kind of to have industrial partners on the team. And we have, like I mentioned already, Lockheed Martin and Sierra Nevada corporations. The objective is to bring closer the academic research to the tools used by industry and to give people the opportunity to work together towards objectives that can be of value to national defense, to space exploration, or to society broadly defined. So I think it's a very exciting opportunity for all of us to have this umbrella, to have NASA annually reviewing our work, and to be able to speak up to Congress like we plan to do this summer. So in general, we are all very excited by this opportunity.
Excellent. This is super cool, Naida. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, before you go, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, since you haven't been on my show before, here's the standard off-the-cuff.
So, Naida, a lot of us can't have our favorite foods these days for one reason or another. The restaurant has been shut down. It's on the other side of the planet. So if you could have one meal right now, doesn't matter where it's from, even if the restaurant's been closed, what would you have?
In general, I like light food. I'm a big fan of Mediterranean cuisine, maybe more of the Italian style, Greek style, and so on. Maybe back to name one food my favorite. It's a bit hard, but let's not be creative. Let's say a good pizza.
That's a good answer. I appreciate that answer. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me. This has been super cool.
Thank you so much, Amit. It was a great pleasure.
Keeping with our flying high theme this week, have you heard about the Speeder 2 flying motorbike? So, at the recent Draper Venture Network CEO Summit in California, a new kind of flying motorbike made its debut. Jetpack Aviation's new Mayman Aerospace brand launched the Speeder 2 air utility vehicle. So, this new AUV prototype is about the size of a roadworthy motorbike, is powered by 8 jet engines that run on zero net carbon or sustainable aviation fuel, and has this super glossy angular carbon fiber body. Very futuristic looking. And get this, it also has an ergonomic pilot position that was designed for aerodynamic performance to maximize flight efficiency. So Mayman is keeping ease of use and safety front and center with this new P2 Speeder. In regards to safety, the P2 Speeder includes a proprietary onboard computer system that instantly rebalances engine thrust in the event of engine trouble. With ease of use, apparently getting into the air with the P2 Speeder means only jumping on and hitting the start button. Now, the prototype that was rolled out at the Draper Venture Network CEO Summit was a piloted version. But Mayman Aerospace does contend that because of the modular design of the Speeder 2, that it could be configured for autonomous or remotely piloted flight as well. So maybe you haven't heard of Mayman Aerospace before, but I bet you've heard of their parent company, Jetpack Aviation, which has been working on VTOL or vertical takeoff and landing aircraft for over 10 years. And most likely, any of the jetpacks that you have seen in movies or commercials or even the Red Bull air races, that's Jetpack Aviation. So, the Speeder 2 has been a long time in the making, but this new Mayman Aerospace brand was created specifically to develop micro VTOL speeders for a variety of applications. So, what kind of applications are we talking about for the Speeder 2? So, it's initially targeted at military, rescue, and police applications. But with those autonomous and remotely piloted configurations, the Speeder 2 could be used for a much wider variety of applications, like firefighting, where it could carry retardant in its quick-load twin tanks and then dump or spray the contents in rough terrain. It could also be used as an emergency medevac vehicle for speedy transport to the hospital. Even further, the Speeder 2 could also be used as an industrial cargo transport vehicle because it has the ability to fly in cargo mode for 400 miles at over 500 miles per hour while carrying loads up to 1,000 pounds. Mayman Aerospace CEO David Mayman said this about the trajectory of Mayman Aerospace. He says, Mayman Aerospace is pushing the outer limits of VTOL flight and will continue to innovate and incorporate new technologies, including hydrogen-powered turbine engines, electric fan jets, and turbofan propulsion, complex sense-and-avoid sensors for autonomous swarming, and potentially even supersonic flight. Wow. So the next step for Speeder 2 is FAA certification. And then remotely controlled flight tests of the latest prototype are scheduled to begin in Q3 of this year. And apparently, Mayman is also already in advanced discussions with customers in national defense, critical cargo, woodland firefighting, and disaster relief. So, if you want to check out even more information about the Speeder 2, I've included a couple links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com, including a video of a previous prototype in action. Super cool. Hey everybody, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And don't forget, if you would like to follow my personal Twitter account, check out AmeliaD1978. And hey, if LinkedIn is more your thing, I dig it. You can follow me or us on LinkedIn as well. And folks, we have a YouTube channel, youtube.com/EEJournal. It is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series hosted by me. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can subscribe to this here podcast through Spotify, Podbean, or Apple Podcasts. And remember, if you'd like to further support this podcast, please leave me a review on Apple Podcasts. It really does help. Also, if you'd like any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology or heck you just want to chat, shoot me a line at Amelia, that's AMELIA, at eejournal.com, or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 10th, 2022, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.